thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to another week in technology. Another week with the Windows 7 world. Another week with computers. And of course, another week with the Data Doctors in the Computer Corner. Going on 13 years strong here on these fine airwaves. Whether you're listening to us on the real radio, or via the internet, or through our podcasts, or through telekinesis, whatever the way is, it is all good. And we're going to talk to you today about all kinds of things that hopefully get you a little education, a little entertainment, and allow you to participate in the show. If you've got questions, issues, comments, suggestions, thoughts, whatever it is, we're going to run down a number of ways you can communicate and talk to us. But before we do that, quickly introduce your Data Doctors of the day. Ken would say de jour, but I don't speak no
You're
French.
Different.
I don't
You're
speak
different.
No French.
Is that French?
I don't know.
I'm pretty uncultured.
I don't speak no Mexican.
Oh.
I love when people say that. Anyway, that guy you're hearing over there is Kevin Church. He's an all-around good guy. He spends a lot of time out seeing what's happening in our stores, and so brings lots of real-world stuff that's happening and has plenty of experience with not just the technical side of computers, but the more the practical side, and not just computers, but then devices in general. He's a avid, I think we call him a wow freak, right? I mean, a gamer.
I stopped playing.
You stopped playing?
I did.
How come you quit that and not quit that other nasty habit you have?
I just, you know.
Go back to playing.
I do what
that.
I want. I do what I want.
So never mind what I said about that, but either way, he's here to help out and make sure you get educated, entertained, and otherwise enjoy yourself. To his right, my left, Robert DeRezzo. We're going to go with that.
I didn't hear the role.
DeRezzo?
There you go.
DeRezzo. He's equally as good a guy as Kevin. Well, actually.
Probably a little bit better.
Yeah, probably better. And also spends time out there in the real world in the trenches, so sees all the kinds of things that you're getting infected with these days and understands a little bit about why you're getting infected, or gets the question every day, should I be upgrading to Windows 7? If so, why? I'm thinking about buying a new machine. Gosh, it's kind of expensive to fix this one. Isn't the new machine just cheaper? Can't you just buy one for $120? All those kinds of questions. If those are your questions, Robert's got answers for all those things. And of course, we'll just help participate in the show in general. So welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging.
Thank you.
And then, of course, the other guy, Brandon. And between the three of us, we're going to hook you up with mad knowledge and skills with a Z. So if you've listened to the show at all over the past 13 years, you'll know that we have a technology theme that we bring each and every week. Something to sort of start the show off, kick it off, give us a general direction, and based on your calls, your questions, your interest, we dive deeper or less deep into that topic and sort of take that as just a placeholder, if you will. So today's theme, teleworking and telecommuting. It says better than ever, but really, is it? Is it easier? Is it better? Is there a use? You know, somebody the other day brought up a good point. If you're at home sick, but really you're sick, not so sick that you can't get things done, but you don't want to infect the rest of the world. Maybe you've got some pretty mild strain of something.
Like H1N1, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if it's mild or not. People I've heard talk to you say for a lot of people, it's not that big a deal. I don't know. I don't want to get into that whole controversy of should you be protecting your family or not, or do you get the flu shot or not, or even if you wanted to get one, you can't, right?
Or the beer flu.
The beer flu.
Yeah.
The beer flu. The hangover bug?
Yeah.
whatever that is. So telecommuting might be a good option if you're in that sort of don't want to infect the rest of the world state, but, you know, I generally don't feel too horrible. I just can't go out in the world.
Or if you just want to roll out of bed, walk 20, 30 feet and start working.
Yeah, or maybe you're the carpool thing isn't working out for whatever reason. The boss is cool with as long as you're getting your work done. You can work from home or work from the beach or the cabin or whatever it is, the coffee shop. Well, there's lots of things out there. And over the last few years, technology has gotten better. High-speed internet's gotten more prevalent and better and faster. It's become easier to get connected and get connected not only from regular old computers, but from handheld devices like iPhones and PDAs and smartphones in general, Blackberries, those kinds of things. So there's lots of options, things that make it easier for you to either pop in and do simple tasks or do a full day's worth of work. And that's what today's show is all about. We've got, of course, resources posted for you, datadoctors.com/radio. Datadoctors.com, click where it says radio show if the slash thing confuses you at all. And, of course, also there you'll find links to ask questions, make suggestions, and then big, huge buttons for places where you can follow us. And so if you're, for example, if you listen to this show every week, but all the times in between Saturdays between 12 and 2, you want to know sort of what's happening in the world or be alerted to things that are problems out there, things discovered, you can choose to follow us either through Facebook or Twitter. And we've got links for those there as well. So lots of resources, lots of information, all things designed to help you really navigate what's going on in the technology world, because it changes every day and generally every hour of every day. And so we try to keep up with what's going on and make it easier for you to stay up with us if you'd like. That's sort of the premise of the show. That's how things work. Also throw out now the phone number, because that's where you dial in. That's how you ask questions. That's how you jump in and participate and get involved if those digital ways aren't happening for you. It's 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. And that gets you in here to the studio. We're going to ask you a couple of questions like, you know, what's your name and what kind of issues you're having, that kind of thing. And then as the show progresses, we'll talk to you a little bit on the air, see if we can help not only you out, but help others out that are listening as well. Because oftentimes the question you have, the thing you're frustrated with, the challenge you're suffering, others are suffering the same or something similar. And that's part of what the fun is, right? We're not just helping you, we're helping other people. So again, the number is 602-277-5827. We're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, straight away to your calls, your questions, and of course, information about teleworking and telecommuting. It's all that right here on the Computer Corner. Stick around. There's no reason to continue with the show now.
Why is that?
Hey, Pete, can you put something on if we take off now, right?
What are you trying to say?
Robert just told me about the new Super Mario that's coming out for Wii, and I'm looking at a video right now on YouTube.
It is really cool.
Is it out
not
now?
It's not out yet.
Not out yet. Coming out this month, I believe.
All right, I guess we'll stay on the show. I was like the biggest Super Mario Brothers guy ever back in the day. Back in the day, it'd be like 100 years ago, right? On old Nintendo, the original.
Yep. The one where you hit the mushroom right in the beginning and die. You can't even jump over him. First level.
I don't know. I beat the game.
I'm excited about this.
I figured it out.
I could never get past the first guy or the first hole in the ground. It was a problem for a while.
What?
That's not the first one.
The first one.
Yeah, he's talking about you hit your head immediately. You know, you hit your head on the mushroom, and there's the secret player
but
one
the
up.
First bad guy mushroom was the one that I run right into and die. I couldn't even jump over.
You didn't
over
know how to jump?
Nope. And then if I got past him, I'd fall through the first hole.
Okay, you got anybody who was a Mario fan of any sort years ago, go to YouTube, type in New Super Mario Wii.
It is really cool.
And check it out. It looks very they brought back some of the old coolness.
Well, and there's four players, so you can sit around with your friends at the house.
Four simultaneous
players. You can pick up your friends. You can throw them in the gaps. You can
stack up, right? I could take Robert and throw him on my shoulders and go running around.
And they actually require co-op for some of the bonuses and some of the secrets that you have to get.
Does anybody listening care about this?
I think they might.
Oh, I bet you they're on YouTube right now.
If they don't care, they need to get with the program. This is amazing.
We have no reason to do this show anymore. All right, I guess we got to wait for it to come out, and then we won't do the show after that.
Well, it comes out the day after the next show, so we...
On Sunday?
It comes out on the 15th.
That's kind of weird.
Yep.
All right, I'll check that out.
Nintendo should probably pay us for that five-minute plug, huh?
Yeah? I don't know.
Eh, whatever. It's Mario.
Let's jump on the phones and talk to people, and before we jump into all of the telecommuting resources and some of the cool things out there and give you some maybe ideas of things that you didn't even know were possible. We'll talk about that in a minute, but first up, it's Will here on the Computer Corner. Will, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing fantastical, sir. How can we help you today?
Just before my first note, I want to say the new Super Mario Brothers Wii is a port of the new Super Mario Brothers that came out for the Nintendo DS, and the DS version was fantastic. So, yes, new Super Mario Brothers Wii, if any of you are considering buying it, the consider should go to definite.
Nice.
Now, my issue is I need a second opinion on this. I've got an Intel Core 2 Duo E8500 processor, and I've got that on a Gigabyte motherboard that's got the Intel P45 chipset on that, which allows for overclocking using their built-in tool on there.
Will, just so you know, you're going off the deep end of the geek scale, but luckily for you, Robert's in studio, and he speaks all the geek you want, so you go right ahead.
Excellent. So, no translator needed.
No.
All right. And I used Arctic Silver 5, just the basic Arctic Silver, for a cooling compound, hooking it up to my heat sink, which is, if you haven't heard of the rifle-type coolers, it's basically like a car radiator. It's a bunch of copper pipes with aluminum fins, just this really huge block of cooling. Yeah. And I've got a 120-millimeter fan on that right now. Now, what happened is I brought the front side bus up from 333 megahertz, which is what it is, you know, at the basic point of it. I brought that up to, from 333, I brought that up to 366. Now,
Hey, wait, Will, do you think anybody listening has any clue what we're talking about at this point?
I hope so.
The guys here in the studio, yeah, no problem. The people that listen to our show on a regular basis, the other guys that are sitting on hold, Anthony and Dave and CJ, they're going, what's this guy talking about? I just have a question about like this virus I got, man. So fast forward to the question part, and let's work backwards to, we'll ask you what detail we need.
Okay, I'm basically having a problem with temperature at this point. Now, it should have been scaled up just a couple degrees, but it spiked up about 20 degrees Celsius. And when it only should have increased a couple, according to the previous builds that I've made using, you know, similar setup and everything. And I'm wondering if, you know, the fan's working fine, everything else is working fine. I'm wondering if it's the compound.
Maybe. Who measures temperature in Celsius in the United States?
Well, I'm from Canada.
So. Oh. Do we call it Celsius or centigrade? I'm always confused
about that. The terms are usually interchangeable. There is a scientific difference, but as far as just everyday conversation, the terms are interchangeable.
Wow, what does it take to get a guy like you in the studio sometime, Will?
I don't know, a couple bucks in gas.
Would the heat compound possibly make a difference? The answer is maybe. If you're really into overclocking and you're tweaking this thing out and you're trying to really go nuts, heat's always going to be your enemy. And I don't know that it's something I'd recommend for most people, but if you want to try to deal with heat issues as best possible, you've got to get to something that deals with liquid cooling.
What about your case? What about your case? Do you have a lot of airflow going through the case?
Yes, I have a total of 14 fans equaling up to about 900 CFM.
So you've got more airflow there than in your air conditioning system in July.
I actually do, yes.
Yeah,
fantastic. There is this case from Thermaltake. You have to go on thermaltake.com, but it is amazing. It uses refrigeration technology, and that might be the route to go for extreme overclocking.
I have not heard of that.
Go to thermaltake.com. There is one case in particular. Patented. It's pretty cool. Check it out.
Will, did I tell you that you were in luck that Robert was here? Because he's the only guy not in our organization, but in this room that was going to give you that information.
That is excellent. I have not heard of that case before. I really appreciate that.
Hey, Will, thanks for the call. Hey, laugh a little. Have a little fun in life, man.
You guys take it easy.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Your question need not be at that technical level. We'll still accept it. It's okay. 602-277-5827. We're gonna take a deep breath. We're going to reset. We're going to get you a check of some of the things going on around the world, and we'll be right back. Stick around. It's the Computer Corner. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. Before we went to the break,
your eyes looked like crazed with just violence.
Wow.
I'm having fun.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to have fun. If we got to come down here and give people 2 hours of help, we ought to be allowed to have fun too, right?
That looked like a laugh without a smile. Just ha 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 ha. Can't see that over the radio, but that was a little frightening.
A little frightening. Anyway, what was a little frightening was it Mark?
Mark overclocking questions.
Yeah. So just for everybody listening, what he had was he was trying to take sort of off-the-shelf components. And if you had a car and you wanted to really maximize performance of that car, there's things you can do. You can go out and buy generally like a chip that you put in, or you can get your car programmed. Somebody plugs in and changes some of the software, changes some of the timing, adds a little fuel, whatever it is, right? You can do that. Of course, some people add in nitrous oxide or a supercharger. Some people change the tires thinking it makes it faster, whatever. They add fuel additives. There's all kinds of things, cold air induction,
exhaust.
So there's all these little things that tweak out the performance to get it to be a little bit faster or sound a little bit cooler or take corners a little bit better or whatever. The same thing exists in the computer world where hobbyists and gamers and generally it's people that are just hobbyists. They want to take and push the limits of what can be done. And so one of the ways to do that is to do something called overclocking. And overclocking means you take a processor that's designed to run at one speed and you crank it up and you make it run at another speed. And different processors have different sort of abilities to have this done, and you need to have the right kind of equipment, specifically generally a motherboard that's capable of doing this kind of stuff. But anyway, at the end of the day, anytime you take a processor, which is sort of the heart of your system, and you try to make it run faster, the faster it goes, the more heat it produces. And so then you need to fight that by adding fans, adding extra cooling fins, doing all kinds
better
of things.
Better CPU blocks.
Right. And then there's something that takes the heat sink, which is what attaches to the processor. If you put a little bit of the special compound, it's a grease. It helps make better contact, therefore helping it dissipate more heat. So anyway, you can get really out of control. And as it turns out, he was at
a regular Core 2 Duo, and really you got to do an extreme.
He was getting out of control.
Yeah.
So if you're really into that, there's all kinds of resources out there, including Robert, who's in this room, who part of what his problem was is that the base processor he started with is not really the best candidate for doing that overclocking. And so there's a couple other choices, either one of the Extreme Edition processors that Intel puts out, if you're going to go the Intel route, or one of the newer i7 processors, which dissipates heat in a different way and doesn't really have as many of the heat problems. So anyway, there's lots of ideas out there.
What I did was when I recommended a case, there's a Thermaltake brand cases for those of you that are in gaming. There's a lot of cases on that line that have a lot of good cooling capabilities. And the one that was called the ExpressR series is actual refrigeration case, like building your computer in a mini refrigerator. So
well, you know what? There were people that actually took little mini like dorm fridges and decided to figure out how to tweak them out and add in like put the motherboard and mount the components and things inside of those. Now, there's another problem inherent in doing that, which is you've looked inside your refrigerator. You've seen moisture. You've seen ice form inside the freezer. Generally, as we all probably pretty much know, water is not good for electronic components. And so that introduces a whole new set of problems that didn't generally exist before. It's an interesting world that takes a lot of research and a lot of know-how if you're going to go down that path. So just be warned if you decide to take that weird plunge and go crazy. It can be done, but you're going to spend some bucks and you're going to spend some time and you may damage equipment in the process. So anyway, back to the phones?
Yeah.
Back to the phones.
Anthony, I believe, is up next here on the Computer Corner. Anthony, welcome.
How's it going?
Good. How can we help you today, sir?
All right. I have a Windows Vista laptop computer, and just recently I started installing some updates, and now it's stuck on a constant reboot loop.
Have you heard about Windows 7, and what are your thoughts? We can solve this problem real quickly with an upgrade to an operating system that is probably going to make your life a little easier. I mean, the reality is your question, if it's stuck in a reboot loop, have you tried going into, like, safe mode?
Yeah, I tried safe mode. I've tried to use the disk and try to go into repair and everything, and it's still going straight back to that screen.
What's the screen it goes back to?
It says configuring update 3 of 3, and it stays 0%, and it stays on 0%, and it stays on for probably about 20, 25 seconds, and then shuts down completely and starts back up and goes right back to the configuring update 3 of 3.
So it can never finish the update. If you try to go into safe mode, the same exact thing, no matter what process you go through, you get the same thing?
Exactly.
Have you tried, when you boot up to that place where you can choose safe mode, have you tried the repair console and then let it try to repair?
Yes, and it said unable to repair.
So, I wasn't completely kidding about, what are your thoughts about Windows 7? So, you're at the point where you're probably, without getting somebody pretty technical involved, you're probably looking at having to reinstall Windows.
Okay.
And so, you can either get out your Windows Vista disk, stick it in, and go forward. Now, in Windows Vista and in Windows 7, unlike older operating systems where when you put the disk in, it by default would try to wipe things out and kind of start all over.
Uh-huh.
In both Vista and Windows 7, they changed the mechanism somewhat where when you're done installing, you're still going to have to reinstall programs and things, but by default, it sort of takes all your data and your information, sets it aside, does the install, and it's sort of there waiting for you when you're done.
Okay.
So it's not as painful as the process used to be.
Right.
The half joking at the beginning, if you're considering at all going to Windows 7, if you're one of those guys that has one of the Windows upgrade coupons that, you know, when you bought your computer, if Windows 7 wasn't out, but they gave you a coupon with it.
Right.
I would take the time and the opportunity now to just go down the 7 path if you were considering it at all. I think you're going to find most people, and definitely 3 out of 3 people in this room will tell you it's a better operating system, easier to use. And if you got to take the time to reinstall, you might as well start with something that generally the industry thinks is quite a bit better.
Right, right. Now, as far as my files on there, are those going to be like pictures and stuff? Are those going to get all wiped out?
It depends on how you do the install. When you go through the process, if you take the defaults, it ought to prompt you to go ahead and just reinstall Windows, and it should save your data and your those kinds of things and set them aside. Your settings, your programs, all that kind of stuff will have to be reinstalled for sure. Now,
okay. Whatever's
happened may have caused so much damage that that stuff is now in jeopardy or gone. If that's
okay.
the case, then all bets are off.
So all right.
if you're unsure if there's things there that are super critical to you, I'd figure out a way to get a backup. If you don't have an emergency boot disk or something like that available, then get with a friend or somebody more technical that can help make sure that data is safe and secure before you try to do this.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks for the call.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
About those Windows 7 upgrades, a lot of people have been registering for those now, and they estimated delivery dates in, like, December 15th.
You know,
it's crazy.
We did a little experiment. We've got some machines still left in stock that had those available, and so we took one and ordered the anytime upgrade option, and it did say it was going to be, like, middle December, and it showed up a couple days later.
It actually,
the process was really smooth. You go online, fill in a couple of blanks, it makes sure you're not, you know, it just makes sure that you got a code and those kinds of things. And then it was less than a week later, I think, we got the disk and
nice.
And the little key, the key code and everything. And it was pretty smooth, pretty simple. We thought the same thing. You know, it's saying middle December. I think they're doing that as a managing expectations kind of thing, giving you a you know, the thought that it might be a while. But in reality, it came really quick. So not a big deal. Your mileage, of course, may vary. And obviously, the more people that start to do that, the longer it might start taking them to get those things shipping. So our experience was pretty good. Took less than a week, and off we went. So wasn't a major deal.
Hmm.
What do you mean, hmm?
Interesting.
That's all you can say?
That's all I can say.
All right.
Interesting.
We got a line open. Kevin wants you to know it. 602-277-5827. What do you think about that?
I think that's amazing. It's interesting.
Great. You know, we're talking a little bit about, or we at least have a theme about, telecommuting and teleworking and telekinesis. No, not telekinesis. Telestuff. So there's a couple of things out there. There's in particular a company called LogMeIn has a service. They have both a paid and free version of their service. Basically, you go onto their website at logmein.com and you create yourself a profile. So you log in or create an account there. Once you're logged in, if you're sitting in front of, let's say, for example, your work computer, you can go and click on the add a computer and it walks you through the steps of installing some software on that work computer. And it's then running in the background and it hasn't kind of hooked up to that service. So now you go home, you sign in at their website again. And when you go in, you'll be able to view all the different computers you've signed up. In this case, just your work computer. You click on it and you're able to remote control and file transfer and do all kinds of things as if you were sitting in front of the computer. So it's kind of cool. They've got a free version that lets you do the basics of remote control and copy files and that kind of stuff. And then they've got like a paid upgrade version where you can hear sounds and be able to do copy and paste and that kind of thing, you know, between the remote system and your local one. So it's a good free option out there. There's a bunch of different paid options that exist out there. There's, of course, built into most versions of Windows now, something called Remote Desktop. There's lots of stuff out there. Some of it you probably already have on your machine you may not know about. If you have a Windows Home server, they've got some extra kind of cool goodies there that makes gives the ability for you to remote into machines and multiples of them from work or from wherever. It makes that a lot easier. So there's some cool stuff out there. And we've got some resources posted for you at datadoctors.com/radio. And we'll talk more about telecommuting and whatever. Use something, right? You mean every once in a while you're remoting into...
I use LogMeIn.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people do because they've got a free option.
It's free.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty handy.
A couple
have.
Times I've thought about, I wonder if the pro version would be worth it. But do I really care about having sound? I mean, there's some cool things. It's a little slicker. If you have an iPhone and you want to be able to jump into your work computer and grab a file and send an attachment, whatever it is, they've got a cool thing. It's like $20 one time you pay for it on your iPhone, and then you can remote into any computer you have in your My Computer's listing there. That's kind of a cool idea. At first you think, well, when would I actually use that? I'm on my iPhone. The screen's so small. Well, you're at a coffee shop and somebody says, hey, did you that attachment, can you send me a copy of that? I got to go back and find it.
I think more practical would be, you know, whether it's on your phone, whether it's another computer, showing somebody, hey, you got to check out this picture of my kid. And you've got it saved at home, but the only way for you to get in there is through that method.
Yeah, that's why you should save everything to the web. See, then you wouldn't have the problem.
Yeah, but that's work.
That's work. Well, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we got more of your calls and your questions. 602-277-5827 is the Computer Corner. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. Robert D'Arezio, Kevin Church, Brandon Disney, the Data Doctors du jour are here to help you.
You just spoke French.
I did. Even though I don't speak it, I spoke it.
I spoke it.
I spake. Is that the past tense? I don't know. We've got resources for you on telecommuting, tele-networking. Posted at datadoctors.com/radio. Is that song the Carrie Perry song? It is.
I think so.
That almost motivated me to dance.
You should do that.
I said almost.
I was moving in my chair.
I said almost.
Pete's saying absolutely you should. He's saying for sure. He wants to see that.
Mm.
He's getting out his ones. What
it
does that mean?
It would be pretty hot, but not going to do it.
What's that stack of bills, almost. Pete? What? I don't understand. Anyway, we've got resources posted for you. Datadoctors.com/radio. We've got lines 602-277-5827, and we've got two Bryants. And so I'm going to say hi to Brian, and the other Brian's not going to know that I'm saying hi to the other Brian. They're both going to be confused, so whichever guy thinks it's him, say hi. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How can we help you today, sir?
Real quick couple things on Windows 7. First, is there a direct upgrade from XP that will let you save your files, et cetera? And second, do I need to worry about running XP programs in 7?
Okay, so the answers to both questions are yes or no. And let's get a little deeper with that. You said, is there a way to go from XP to 7 directly and save programs, files, etc.? So there is a way to go from XP to 7 without having to install Vista in between, but you won't be able to keep your programs or your settings, your data, absolutely. And okay. The settings is somewhat... So there's a if you had a, let's say you had a new machine and an old machine, the old machine had XP, the new machine has 7. You could go on the new machine and start something called the Windows Easy Transfer. And easy is a relative term. So you'd start this little wizard up and it would say, hey, we're going to make your life awesome. Is this your new computer or your old computer? You'd say, it's my new computer. Then it would say, have you already done the migration on your old one? You'd say, no. And so it would say, okay, I can dig that. And it would ask, well, where is your old machine? And you'd say, on my same network. And it'd say, cool. Then save this file either to someplace you can get onto or on a flash drive or whatever. And so you'd say, okay, cool. It'll make a disk for you. It'll save it on the network. You'd go to your old machine and you'd execute that file it gave you. As soon as you did, it'd have you put in a little code to make sure that you're the same guy that started the transfer on the other end. And then it would sit there for a while and say, I'm going to transfer all this junk. And it would transfer a bunch of things. And really what it's doing is going in and getting all your data and some of the settings for some of the programs you use, most of the common ones. And so this process may take an hour, it may take a couple hours, depending on how much data and the speed of your network and all those kinds of things. At the end of the process, you shut down your old box, you reboot your new box, and magically, your data, your desktop, all the shortcuts and things you had will be there. But you'd still need to go in and reinstall programs and things like Word and Excel and your QuickBooks and all those kinds of things. But what's cool is when you open those programs, for example, you'd open up Internet Explorer, all your bookmarks would be there. If you had gone to sites and told it to save your password, it would still remember those things. Your history, that kind of stuff would be there. And so it's a decent way to get from XP to 7. It's not perfect because you still have to reinstall programs.
Okay, very good.
Now, the other little gotcha here is some people say, well, if I had Vista, then I could just upgrade from XP to Vista, then Vista to 7, and I would not lose those programs and things. Yes, that is true, but A, that's a lot of upgrading, and B, you got to make sure you're staying in the same processor realm. And what I mean by that is that if you had a 32-bit processor, make sure that the version of Windows 7 you buy is built for 32-bit, right, and not 64. A lot of people are making this mistake. They're going out and buying the latest, greatest version of Windows 7, and they're getting something that has a different bits, meaning that it's either 64-bit or 32-bit. They're getting the opposite of whatever they had, and there is no upgrade path when you do that. You have to do the transfer wizard like we were just talking about, regardless of what operating system you're coming from and to.
Got it.
The other question you had was, will my programs that I used in Windows XP run in 7? The answer is most of them, yes. Only the really weird, obscure, kind of old-school ones won't. And so that's where the Windows XP mode would come into play. But for most people, that actually doesn't turn out to be something you actually need in almost every case. So it's an extra little download that's included free when you buy the Pro version, Ultimate version, those kinds of things. Hope that gives you some ideas and heads you in the right direction. We're going to grab you off the air, help hopefully finish up with you. We got to take a timeout here, get you caught up with news, traffic, and weather. When we come back, we got a full another hour of Computer Corner. Join us online at datadoctors.com/radio. And while we're taking our caffeine break, you do the same. We'll meet you back on the other side. Stick around.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go, don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
Welcome to hour number two. If I don't spoil my words, we'll actually get there. Welcome to hour number two, there we go, of the Computer Corner.
Yeah!
We made it. You made it.
We're
You're
here.
Still here with us. Congratulations to us and to you.
I hope you all got your caffeine.
I'm so proud of our callers. They all hung on through the long break. Dave and Ben, Brian, Dave, CJ, we're going to get to all you folks. I promise you. Just know, we're not some of those guys that, you know, if we don't get your calls, too bad for you. We figure if you hung out for us, we'll hang out for you. What I mean by that is, if we don't get you on the air, we'll stick around after the show as long as it takes to talk to each and every one of you. So don't go anywhere. We're going to hook you up. Don't you worry.
You like that? That's called dead air.
You like that long pause right there? That's not dead air.
Or was that in anticipation?
Pause. You're building the moment.
Pregnant pause.
You know what I'm building for?
I don't know.
It's the best part of the show. The absolute best. Pete's got his hand way up high. He's stretching. He's waiting to press the button, but I haven't given him the...
For the Geek Speak of the Week?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Each and every week. Guy, for years and years and years, each and every week, and I do mean every week, we bring to you a word, a phrase, a vernacular, an acronym, something. We scour the entire internet. All 36 billion pages of it. Find one phrase. We bring it to you to help you decode the words of the geek.
And
the realm of geekdom.
Blow your mind.
And we've built this up so much, it can't possibly.
Yeah, we can't deliver.
No. But either way, we translate a little geek to a little English to help, you know, help you understand just a little bit more about the world of technology. Kevin, what's this week's Geek Speak of the Week?
Auto-magically.
Auto-magically?
Yes.
You said it like it was two words, but it's one.
I had to separate it. You know, it's one of those weird words that could go either way. So I just went ahead and made sure everybody understood.
You ever get the feeling we're stretching for Geek Speak?
Did you read that right? Not automatically?
No.
It's auto-magically.
Auto-magically.
Oh, okay.
What is, come on, enlighten us, Kevin.
It's a term used to avoid explaining a technical process that occurs automatically and appears to be magic to the non-technical individual.
Automagically. Okay. Basically, for us lazy tech guys, when something really cool happens, you've been around, like, your family, your friends, whoever, and they're like, oh, what did you just do? That was so cool. What was that?
That was the enter key.
Right. It was like something really simple, and you just don't want to go through this big explanation or make them feel really, you know, silly. So you just, it's just automagic. It's all cool. Don't you worry about it. It just happens automagically.
We heard a phrase today that actually kind of blew our minds, so we didn't know what it meant.
Which one is that?
A flog.
A flog.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
never
I
heard that.
I
had heard that. Like, if you got punished in the Middle East for stealing a piece of candy, you would be flogged.
What do you mean the Middle East?
It's pretty brutal. I don't think they do that in the U.S.
Didn't you go to one of those kind of schools that...
No, I was never flogged. I got spanked a couple times.
But you liked it. Anyway, flogging.
It's a fake blog.
It's a fake blog, but what you would say, well, who cares about a fake blog? What's the point of that? Well, no, it's actually becoming a big, big thing for advertisers. And so people are real skeptical of anything these days. And what people do, the length they go to sell products. You have a gadget. Let's just say it's one of those home grills, like a George Foreman grill, but not a George Foreman grill. And you want to sell the thing, and you know that people research that kind of product on the internet a lot. And so you go and create a fake blog where it looks like it's regular Joe consumers talking about the product and whether it's good or not. And of course, you create a bunch of different personalities and you create this whole crazy thing. And you create the points and the counterpoints. You even have some personas that maybe say not always the greatest things about the product. But of course, through dialogue back and forth with the community, quote unquote, they're eventually brought around, and there's always a nearby link to buy the product and that kind of thing. And so they look legitimate and look pretty good. But what you'll find on these things is that generally they're all about one particular product or one particular service or one particular company's products or services. And that's usually the dead giveaway. Most blogs out there, most sites where people input things, they're not real specific to for example, the indoor grill. They're all kinds of different small appliances. And so they'd be blenders and these small grills and food processors, mm-hmm. all kinds of different things that you might find in the kitchen. And so you'd jump on and there'd be all kinds of opinions about all those things. not just this one specific product, and you wouldn't be able to find anything else on the entire site. That's usually one of the dead giveaways. Also, when there's specific advertising all over the place, now a lot of blogs have advertising, but when all the ads basically go back to the same product, another dead giveaway. So an interesting thing that exists out there. It's supposedly one of the fastest growing segments of internet advertising right now, which blows my mind. Think about the amount of work, the amount of effort to get people to believe that your product is awesome. It seems like you'd be so much better off just getting real people to like, you'd almost be better off going out on the street and finding 12 people and saying, tell you what, I'll pay you each $10 if you try my product, and then I'm going to give you a website to go to, and I want you to talk about it. At least that's halfway legit, right?
And if somebody had, let's say, split personality disorder,
yeah,
this
Kevin?
Might be a pretty good job for them. They can just argue with themselves all day.
Uh-huh.
He's being creative out there.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people looking for work.
Uh-huh. Should we talk to the other Brian?
Yeah.
Other Brian. I found your button. Other Brian, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I have to call you Other Brian because the guy we talked to just before you, his name is Brian.
That's okay.
And I want you to be different from Brian, so you're the Other Brian.
I'm used to it. There's Brians all around when I grew up. So
see, that's what you get for having actually, it's what your parents get for giving you that name, right?
Yes.
Other Brian. So how can we help today, sir?
I had a question about I have a standalone hard drive for my desktop. And
tell me what a standalone hard drive is, because I'm not sure I understand.
Well, it's a separate hard drive. It's a Seagate 750 gig.
Like an external drive that plugs in through USB?
External, yeah.
Okay.
USB.
We call that an external hard drive. Go ahead.
Okay. And I use the drive to just basically back up. I turned off the auto update because I back it up by hand. I just basically move pictures and music over to it.
Okay. Wait. You say move. So,
copy.
Okay, because I'm stopping you because a lot of people buy these external hard drives that have quote unquote backup software, and they go, well, whoever wrote this backup software is pretty dumb. It's just making a copy of everything. That doesn't make any sense. I want to get a lot more space, and so I'm going to go ahead and move my pictures and my movies and all the things I care about to this external drive because it's a backup drive. And why have doubles on my regular computer? And they don't get that. The idea is that it's making a second copy. That is the backup. They think that these external drives somehow are bulletproof and anything you store there can never, ever go away.
Okay,
and that's simply not the case. So I want to make sure everybody gets that because that's a big, big point there. We get people in all the time who had their only copy of everything they care about on their quote-unquote backup drive because they thought that the term backup drive meant it somehow was backed up to itself. It's not. You know that. So anyway, on to your question.
Yeah, so mine, I actually, like, everything's copied on both the desktop and the drive.
Okay.
So my problem is, recently, I've noticed these files coming up in the external hard drive that I don't recognize, and the title of the file is just a bunch of text, like 5MZX, and this big, long character. And I've deleted most of them. However, two of them still remain, and they say they are write protected.
Okay, so that may or may not be a problem, and I'm going to do something that you're going to hate me for. I took your call and didn't realize what the time was, so I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to answer your question on the other side of this short break. Do you mind?
Okay.
Even if you did mind, we'd have to do it anyway. So I'm glad that you're going along with it. I got him back on hold. We're going to take a quick time out. We're going to answer Brian's question of the mystery files when we come back. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. Before we went to the break, we were talking to the other Brian. And the other Brian has some mystery files, or mystery folders, showing up on his external hard drive, and it's freaking him out a little bit, and he wants to know, should I be freaked out, or is it sort of normal? Is that sort of a good recap there, other Brian?
Yeah, that works.
Okay. So are these actual files, or are they folders?
They're not folders. They're files.
Okay. And have you turned on, by default, when you look at devices, folders, hard drives, those kinds of things. Hidden files and folders are, well, they're hidden. And you can turn on and say, go ahead and show those. And they usually show up in like a little bit lighter shade than the standard stuff. Is this stuff generally the hidden stuff, or do you know?
No, it's not. I don't have that turned on, and it's not they're still there.
Okay, so let me tell you about a couple things that happen that are normal things on Windows-based machines, and that is there's a couple of things in your machine. One, whenever you download Windows updates, they generally go to temporary files, and a lot of times they name them these weird random characters, and at the end of the install process, they generally clean themselves up, unless that process gets interrupted, in which case sometimes they're left hanging out there. The other thing that happens is if you have System Restore turned on, which is on by default, they also go out and create folders and files, generally hidden ones, and that's how it keeps track of different things and creates snapshots and all that. The final thing is some antivirus software will also create files and folders with these crazy weird names. Now, with that all said, there are also things that are malware-based or things that are kind of computer nasties that can do the same kind of stuff. Do you have good antivirus software that you keep up to date?
No, I have no antivirus software.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Do you have brakes in your car?
Yes.
Well, why would you have brakes in your car? I mean, they're not that useful unless you want to stop, right? So antivirus software in a computer is like brakes in your car. Necessary requirement here. If you don't have something, we only know your name is Other Brian. We don't know your last name, so I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have a legal copy of Windows?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
good.
It's what came with the computer, yeah.
Yeah, so the reason I'm asking is because Microsoft has a free antivirus software that's actually pretty good that you can go get right now. It's called Microsoft Security Essentials. They used to have something called Live OneCare. They abandoned that ship for another ship, but it's actually the best stuff they've made, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinion. So if you go do a quick Google search for Microsoft free antivirus or Microsoft Security Essentials, any of those things, you're going to find a website. The reason I was asking if you have a legit version of Windows is that when you try to install it, it's going to ask you to verify that you have genuine Windows. And if you don't, you're going to hate me for sending you down this path, because it's going to then start bugging you forever to make your Windows legit. And it also won't install. But if you do have a legit version of Windows, it'll walk you right through the process. In moments from now, you'll have antivirus software. And one of the first things it wants to do is run a full scan. Let it. And go to enjoy the nice day for a couple hours while it does. Because if you've got some nasty stuff, it's going to find it. And hopefully it will present you with some ideas on how you can solve those problems if you have them. And if it doesn't find anything nasty, then you can breathe a little easier knowing that you probably don't have anything. And if you do, it's probably nothing that's really nasty and disgusting.
Okay.
Does that help at all?
Yeah, and then a quick question. With the computer slowing down, is there a good site you can recommend that will do a scan like that, or will this thing actually work for that?
Computer slowing down is due to a lot of things. Sometimes it's malware-based as well. So if you've got viruses, malware, nasty stuff, getting it cleaned up is obviously job number one. Job number two is if things are still slow afterward, then there's, well, it's a long explanation of how to solve the problem, but basically, if you did a Control-Alt-Delete when you were in Windows anytime and click on the little button that says Task Manager, and then click on the Processes tab, it'll tell you the number of processes that are running at any given time. If that number is higher than probably the mid-40s, you're running Windows XP?
Yeah, XP.
Yeah, so if it's higher than somewhere in the mid-40s, that means you've got a lot of stuff running in the background all the time. And it needs some cleanup. Now, the how to clean it up depends on a ton of factors, but if you went to our website and just searched a little bit for too many processes, you're going to find lots and lots and lots of resources we've created on how you can tackle that problem. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
You bet. Good luck with that. And you should give us a call back next week and say hi on the Other Brian, and here's how things worked out, and let us know.
Okay, thanks.
All right, man.
All right.
Thanks for the call. Have a good weekend. With that, we got a line open, 602-277-5827. We got a full half-hour show to go. If they stick around, what kind of stuff will we do for them, Kevin?
Take care of it.
We'll take care of it. We'll hook them up. We'll give you resources on telecommuting and telekinesis. Well, Robert will do the telekinesis part.
Telekinesis is my thing.
Either way, we'll have a good time. So make sure you stick around. We'll be back right after this short news break. So did you hear Verizon finally launched their new Droid?
Oh, I heard the commercials.
How could you not hear the commercials? They're on every 5 seconds. This is like their new revolution, they think, right? The Droid. In case you didn't know, Google put out a operating system. Well, actually, more than an operating system. They put out a phone, and they've licensed it to different folks. And it started out with just the, what are the pink guys called?
T-Mobile.
T-Mobile. And now the red guy has got it, too. Droid. And it does what you tell it to do. It takes orders. It's not a smartphone. It's actually a... They advertise it almost like it's not a smartphone. It's sort of dumb. It just does exactly what you tell it to. It's like a good corporal. It just... Go, soldier.
I think what they're probably more concerned about doing is creating something good enough for the people that absolutely hate AT&T. Give them a reason to switch.
Ah, man. I don't know if it's about a reason to switch. It's about a reason to keep. It's a reason. It's switch prevention, right? If you're a Verizon guy, they've been losing people like mad to the blue guys.
The big slogan is, before you pick a phone, pick a service.
Right?
I mean, either way, AT&T is the bad guy. They're trying to sue Verizon for this recent commercial of there's a map for that instead of there's an app for that, showing the map coverage of Verizon versus AT&T regarding 3G.
Oh, I get it. That's almost funny. I never even would have put those two together.
Verizon's response was, well, if you don't like the ad, improve your service.
What?
Yeah.
Like 5-year-olds. I know a guy like that.
Yeah, you know, it's competitive.
Crazy stuff. Well, anyway, I don't know what you think about the droid.
No, I don't care.
But if you've got to have it, I don't know if it's a got to have it kind of device. I don't know. Only the militants, and we're going to get that somebody emailing us saying, oh, it's the coolest thing ever. You iPhone users, you don't know what you're missing. Okay, I'm sure.
I pay $100 or $200 for an iPhone. It's got thousands of apps.
Yeah, but it's not open source. come on, man. Whatever. Back to the phones.
Back to the phones.
Nobody's jumping on the whole teleworking. If you're looking for resources, you want to figure out how you can remote in, VPN in, all that kind of stuff, right? We got resources for you. Datadoctors.com/radio. It'll help hook you up with some knowledge and information on how you can set up if you want to just be able to quickly pop in on your home computer when you're at work on a break, of course. We got how you can do that. Or maybe you got to get into your work thing from home, or you got a small business and you want to be able to mind the shop while you're on the beach sipping whatever.
What about if you were sitting up late night and they said you can pack envelopes at home and make $10,000 a week? And what kind of that? What about that kind of at-home work?
Somebody asked me, they said, I don't have a computer at home. I do have one at the office. Is there some device I could get that would let me use my one at the office while I'm at home so I don't have to buy one for home? I said, sure, a computer. That's the only way you can remote in is another computer. So sort of defeats the purpose, but don't you hate guys like me that give you smart-ass answers? Yeah. By the way, Pete, do they let guys like Mac and Gatos use these computers in here? Because they are so messed up, and it's got to be those guys, right? It's got to be those guys. Just wink twice if, really? Oh, I understand everything I need to know now. All right. Everything unspoken is good. We were going to go back to the phones, weren't we?
Yep.
CJ has been hanging out for such a long time that I'm sure his ear has fallen off and he switched to the other. CJ, welcome to the computer corner. Hello? Hello?
Yes.
CJ!
I'm here.
You're there. Hey, how about you hop off the speaker echo phone?
I'm off of it.
Oh, we got a crazy echo like you're in a... Are you in a tube or something?
No, I'm in a house. I don't know if you can consider that a tube.
Okay, cool. So tell me about what's going on. How can we help you?
I went on your site. I didn't find anything specific. So even though I'm a newbie, so just so you know. But thanks for taking my call. And problem I'm having is my computer came with a McAfee software installed on it already. And I think it's expired by now, and I can't do anything. I've tried everything trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, what you need to do is go into your control panel and then find the add remove programs, and you'll uninstall it.
Mm-hmm.
And once it's gone, then you need to do the next most important thing, which is find some new stuff. And I don't know if you heard us talking to the caller before, but Microsoft has something out that's free that actually works pretty well called Microsoft Security Essentials. If you're looking for the free route, that's a good way to go. If you're looking for what we consider to be some of the best protection out there, that's not just antivirus, but it's anti-spyware, malware, has a firewall built in, all that kind of stuff. We like and we sell in our stores something called WebRoot antivirus. Mm-hmm. You can find that at webroot.com.
But I've tried the control panel uninstalled, and the thing's not coming off. That's why I'm calling.
That's one of the things we like most about McAfee, and it's a cousin that is also the other big name that's out there. So what happens is, when you buy a new computer, it comes with generally a free trial of antivirus. And you're thinking, wow, that's cool. Them, they hooked me up with a couple of months, and then the rest's on me. Actually, they didn't hook you up at all. They got paid, and it's part of what brought down the cost of that computer for you. They got paid to put that on there. And so the two most popular antivirus companies out there in the world, in our opinion, are some of the least effective products and the most confusing products.
Okay.
But they're the most popular because they come on every computer because they've paid to be there.
Yes.
So one of the things that we see often as a problem is that they're hard to uninstall. And if you're having the problem of getting rid of it, then you need to go hunt online, type in McAfee uninstall. So you'd put that in Google, and they have a specific removal tool for stubborn situations like yours. And the other guys, too, Symantec or Norton, they're both the same company. They have such a thing as well. It's a tool that's designed to run and rip the product out sort of by the roots when it doesn't want to come out the old-fashioned way.
Okay.
So you'll need to go find that, get that, download that, run that. And then, again, most importantly, you need antivirus software. We talked earlier about having brakes on your car. They're not optional, right? Antivirus software is no longer optional. You got to have it. So you either need to go find something free or go find something paid. The paid stuff, generally what you're going to get is that it has a little bit more proactive protection, meaning it knows how to look for not just known viruses, but things that are pattern-based, things that look like viruses,
okay,
versus most of the free stuff only looks for known bad stuff, right? So the protection's not quite the same. It's like the old saying, you get what you pay for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you make the choice and go out there and get whatever you think's the right thing for you. But we've got suggestions and our recommendations, at least of things to stay away from, and we can steer you in the right direction at our website, datadoctors.com. If you go in the free help center, you'll see a link that says approved software. And there you'll see different categories of things, what we consider to be some of the better stuff out there.
Okay. Last question. Jobs, man. What are the jobs for geeks or wannabe geeks like me in this economy?
Where?
Yeah.
We try like heck looking for people that are good. If you're, I'll go beyond good. If you're awesome, because we don't really hire anything less than awesome.
Uh-huh.
We're looking for people right now, so I make your life real easy.
Okay.
All right. The next question usually is, well, how do I apply? Well, go on our website. And at our homepage, scroll down a little bit and say, want to be a doctor? Follow the links.
Got it.
All right.
Appreciate it.
And beyond that, of course, there's Craigslist, there's Career Builder, there's Monster, there's Dice, there's, you know, a billion other sites out there. There's all kinds of stuff out there, but we're always looking for fantastic people. And you wouldn't believe how hard a time we have finding people in this supposed economy where everybody's looking for a job. So if you're super awesome, if you're not super awesome, don't even bother wasting your time, man. All right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day, sir.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Is that wrong to say if you're not super awesome, don't waste your time?
We just like to hire the best. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, pretty
much. Look at me.
At least you're being straightforward.
Why would you settle for something else, right?
Like, well,
I'll take mediocre. If you suck a little bit, not too much, we'll take that too. But no, come on.
You know, back to the antivirus thing.
Yeah.
It is a little... I have a problem with the fact that you have to download a tool to remove their software.
It's like a virus.
So after you click uninstall, well, wait, you didn't really uninstall it all. You got to get the rest out. You need to go to this website, download this tool, run it, let it reboot, and hopefully it works.
Well, it does uninstall by itself under ideal circumstances. It's just the real world, what we live in, it doesn't. So they were at least good enough to create a tool that most consumers can't figure out that exists. So it's meant for guys like us to rip it out, because otherwise we're going to rip it out a nasty way. And
every time I hear, hey, I need help with the computer, I'm like, hey, what do you need? Hey, can you get rid of Norton or McAfee? Oh, man, I thought you were going to tell me you had a virus or something.
You know, we don't get the question in our stores about, man, that Office won't uninstall, or, man, this other game won't uninstall.
Why would you uninstall Office?
If you wanted to reload to a new version, if it was having problems, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have that issue.
But Norton, McAfee.
You know, or if you wanted to use something else.
You know how you solved the whole problem, Kevin?
Stop using a computer.
Get a Mac. They have no problems. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, we hear that a little bit.
No problems at all.
After they bring it in and say, I don't really have any problems with this, except this.
You know they're using Macs to jack up your car, too, so you can do oil changes and stuff, because they're bulletproof.
Did you know that Mac can heal the blind?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I like the new commercials that they have. You got to admit, advertising-wise, they're good. Pretty smart.
We had a question last week at talk@datadoctors.com, the email, and one of them was, my husband said I should buy a Mac because of the ads.
Because of the ads.
Mm-hmm.
They have catchy ads, don't you think so,
they
Pete?
Do.
Have you seen their ads? You don't watch TV? You live in a closet when you're not here? Yeah, I kind of figured. Take a timeout now? All right, we can do that. Should we ask any of our callers if they want to take a timeout, or should we just do it? No? Pete says it's time for a timeout. So we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, more of your calls and your questions. It's the Computer Corner. Hey, Dr. Sam Benjamin just walked in the house. That's exciting. He's up next after we're done. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. I promise it'll be worth it. Stay here. Don't go anywhere. We're done. Welcome back. It's the final segment here on the sidelines of the Computer Corner. We're winding down, getting ready to go enjoy our weekend. If you missed any part of the show and you want to get yourself hooked up with knowledge, skills, information, resources, and otherwise good stuff, we've got all that posted at our site, datadoctors.com/radio. You'll find all the goods right there. We're going to burn through these last couple of calls, see if we can help people, hook them up, and then off we go.
Let's do it.
All right. This is going to be like, well, you know what? I can solve all three problems before we even pick up and talk to Ben, Matt, and Dave. Ben, Matt, and Dave, hope you guys are all listening. Solution to all your problems is the same thing. It's easy. So easy, Kevin could do it. You got a problem with your display, your Firefox keeps crashing, your XP times out, no problem. Go get a Mac. It's all solved. We're done here. All right.
Let's signing out.
Let's actually... Dave, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Good.
Go ahead.
Windows XP.
Sir.
Waiting for about colon blank, that about blank. I know a lot of times, I've had it before, a lot of times it'll change your homepage. It's not doing that, but it just seems to be slowing down my system. I see it down in the bottom left-hand corner when a page is loading.
Wait, what? What's slowing down your system? I'm confused about.
About blank.
Is that a pop-up that comes up?
Not actually a pop-up, but what it does is down in the bottom left-hand corner, like let's say I'm going to open up Yahoo, it'll say waiting for Yahoo. Well, then it'll scroll through a couple more things, and about blank is always there.
About blank is usually like when you open a new tab in Internet Explorer 8, it'll say that saying that there's nothing here, you need to type something.
Okay, I'm on 7. I got IE7.
Yeah,
okay.
So if you set your, you know when you can go in and set your default homepage?
Yeah.
If you told it to instead just display a blank page,
okay,
it's going to put in the address bar about colon blank.
Okay. Well, I got Yahoo as my homepage. That's where I set it.
Okay.
And I've been this way for about 10 years now, and then all of a sudden I noticed my computer going slow a couple months ago, and then it just caught my eye that thing was scrolling through and sitting about blank. And it's been a pain in my side for a number of years ago with changing the homepage, but like I said, it's not doing that, so... I'm thinking it's some kind of malware or spyware.
If you were to type in whatever other website, mm-hmm. are you able to pull it up once you do that?
Yes, everything will pull up, and it's sort of intermittent. Maybe one page will just come up fine, then the other one, as it's scrolling through, when it's waiting for the website to load, every now and again it will say waiting for about blank.
Sometimes what we look for when we see something like that, we don't immediately jump to spyware and viruses right off the bat,
mm-hmm.
although that's something good to remember.
Mm-hmm.
We'll oftentimes wonder about the consistency of the internet connection. So if you're on a wireless connection, how strong is the signal? Is your card connecting to the modem reliable? Mm-hmm. We want to start there because we want to make sure the connection is always the same. If it's not... Sometimes those things will time out and you'll get that cannot display the page or cannot connect.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, if everything's okay, then obviously your first concern is spyware and viruses, since most people either don't have current antivirus or don't take the time to schedule regular sweeps.
Right. Now, I am clear on all accounts. A lot of times I'll call Cox and I'll say, refresh or reset my modem, so they do that. I clear out my cache. I make sure that I do all my updates several times a week.
Hey, Dave, what web browser are you using?
I got the E7.
Do you have the other Firefox also installed?
No, sir.
I was going to suggest that maybe you go get that and try the same thing in the Fox, and if you don't have the same problem, maybe it's a browser issue.
Okay.
You also might consider the new Internet Explorer 8. It's actually quite a bit better, I think, than the old 7. Yeah.
Okay.
It's time, man.
Yeah, I think so. It is time.
All right.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Was that a toilet?
I didn't just hear that.
Yeah, I was sitting there for 2 hours waiting for you, man.
Oh,
hey,
wow.
Hey, Dave, don't forget to jiggle the handle.
Here you go.
Thanks for the call. Are you kidding me?
He was on the toilet talking to us.
That's pretty good. That's
a flush. Couldn't you have waited another
classic.
10 seconds and wait till we're off the air?
And then flush.
Know. Sometimes those burritos, man, you never know.
No, he just could wait to
flush
until after.
Yeah, you can't put a clock on nature. Can't do it.
You could flush after we
know. You
could
tax it, but you can't put a clock on it. No clock.
He could wait to flush.
You don't know how bad that was. Can't judge.
Open a window.
I would have muted the phone, but
we were saying goodbye to him. All we had to do was wait 10 seconds
and then flush.
Doc, what do you have callers that regularly for flushing in the middle of your call? No, not too much. Yeah, it regularly happens. Always. All right. It's the first time for me. I'm sorry. I'm a virgin to this. This is new for me. Somebody flushing in the middle of our conversation on the air. Never mind you're calling a radio station and we're on the air and we're talking. Go ahead and please continue with your business. Never mind that we got work to do and we're trying to be halfway professional. Well, I guess we can't say that. I don't know what we're doing.
Wow.
Hey, stick around. Up next, Dr. Sam Benjamin. If you thought this show was helpful, actually, you didn't think it was helpful, but Dr. Sam's show is actually helpful. Information, healthcare, he's got some opinions. He doesn't hold anything back. Let's just say that. So you'll want to stick around for that. Of course, if you missed any part of the show, datadoctors.com/radio will have the audio archives posted up there early next week. And we go way back in time. If you want to listen to past shows, you can do that anytime. Of course, during the week, you'll definitely want to make sure you stay up with what's happening through our special alert system. We use Facebook. Facebook.com/datadoctors. For Robert D'Arezio, also Robert D'Arezzo, Kevin Church, Brandon Disney, reminding you, when it comes to your technology, if you don't need it, don't install it. We'll see you next time.